Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap Up Podcast. It has been a while, but I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here with Lita. Lita, how you doing?
I'm good. A lot has happened since the last time we were on this podcast. I feel like it's been an extremely long time.
Well, I mean, there was a very special day yesterday for you.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
It was your 11/12th birthday, as you informed me. How was it?
It was great. I got 11/12 of a cake. No, Taryn has really made this into a much bigger thing than it needs to be. I had pointed out that
made it into a bigger thing.
I'm
not the one that brought it up.
That it was exactly 1 month until my birthday. They get my 11/12 birthday. And I thought that was exciting. And Taryn thought that apparently this was the most outrageous thing he had ever heard, that I can acknowledge a fractional birthday. But yeah, it was fine. It was a great day, Taryn, despite your sass.
I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with acknowledging a fractional birthday, but like 12 of them, that seems a little
excessive.
It's not
like I threw a party for it. I just mentioned that it happened to be that day. My God.
It seemed very important to you.
Oh my God. It became important to me because you were so upset about it. You were so in a tizzy. Anyway, I am graduating from college tomorrow. So that's the big news that I feel like we need to acknowledge at the top of the show.
Is that the big news or is the big news the 11/12 thing?
It's both.
Because it's the 11/12 thing.
It's a really big weekend. I really don't know if my family is coming in tonight to watch me graduate or to celebrate my 11/12 birthday. It's hard to say.
Who knows? We also hung out in New York. That was fun, right? Yeah. There was a lot of know-it-alls.
Yeah, it was fun. Our friendship was almost ruined over a Nintendo game, but it's okay.
Yeah, but we still won, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah, it was salvaged.
Okay. All right, so we are here to talk about Team Ninja Warrior. This is a much longer season than the previous one. This is a version of American Ninja Warrior where athletes compete against each other head-to-head on a course side-by-side, and you just basically have to be the first person to the buzzer, and you win your round. The way that it's set up is there are teams of three. There's four teams per episode, and two teams face off at a time. Each member of the team races against a corresponding member of the other team. And the first two rounds count for 1 point. The final round counts for 2 points. And then if need be, there is a tiebreaker round to finish it off. The first rounds don't really matter. They just matter for placement. If you lose, then you have to go against the winning team from the other matchup. And then finally, we get down to two teams that compete in the relay, where each member of the team competes in a certain segment of the course. And the first team to hit the buzzer at the top of the invisible ladder at the end will win the episode and move on to the finals. We're not entirely sure what the structure of the finals are. But I'm sure we will eventually find out. So
there are 11 teams. I mean, sorry, there are 11 episodes for 28 teams. So we're not clear on how this works out mathematically. So if someone can help us out, that would be great.
Yes. And I'm sure we can get into theories about how it works and what the episodes are going to be. But for now, we'll leave it at that. This is a really fun version of the show, I think. It's very high energy, very fun. You get to watch people go really fast and be less concerned about, you know, falling in the water. And it's much less dramatic. Just like a lighter, more fun show. So I'm happy to be podcasting about it. I think what we're going to do is talk every couple of episodes just about the athletes in general and the runs and some of the crazier stuff that happened. I don't know if we're going to go through every run individually, but we just want to talk about the show as a whole because it is a lot of fun. So what are your thoughts on this, Lita?
Yeah, I agree. We've talked about before how there's no prize for Team Ninja Warrior. That was one thing that we liked when we recapped College Madness. And yeah, it's a lot of people who, some people have something to prove, the newbies, but it's not really as much about like status or prestige or anything like that. The captains pick their own teams. I don't really know what that process is like, but you know, it's people who like working with each other who are theoretically friends with each other in real life. So it's fun to see the dynamic between the teams as well.
Yes. And we have a new sideline reporter, Alex Curry. Is she new, entirely new, or is she just replacing Casey Catanzara from the college version?
I think that Alex Curry was, this might be totally wrong, and now I need to look it up. But in my mind, I believe she was the reporter before Christine Leahy, or two before. I think she was like a former American Ninja Warrior sideline reporter.
Was she?
Now I feel extremely like I just made that up out of nowhere. But I feel like they said she's back.
I'm looking at her IMDb page, and it just says Team Ninja Warrior is the only thing she's ever done. So yes, new reporter on the sidelines, sure. Alex Curry. nothing really. There was nowhere else I was going with that, because it's really of no importance whatsoever.
Better
these two
or worse
episodes.
Than Casey.
I feel like Casey may have talked about herself a little too much, but for the most part, at least she was a familiar face. I don't know. They're always cycling through these people. Just leave us with the same person. Why do we need to move on?
Hey, what is Christine Leahy doing that she's too busy for this?
Look, she is better than Team Ninja Warrior. All right.
Really? Seems you know, like if Matt second... and Akbar can make time.
It's funny. I was reading a description of Team Ninja Warrior, or an article that was written, and they were like, luckily, Akbar and Matt were available to shoot for Team Ninja Warrior. And I was like, oh my God, are you saying that they would have gone without them if they hadn't been available? Like, that would have been ridiculous. I mean, they cycled through some hosts at the beginning of American Ninja Warrior, but I mean, Matt has been here for most of the seasons. It would be very strange to have a season of any Ninja Warrior without Matt.
We may have needed Terry Crews and random woman from Ultimate Beastmaster to step in.
Don't do it. Don't even joke about that. They are probably the reason why I decided not to podcast about Beastmaster, and also the reason why I would have podcasted about Beastmaster, just so I could complain about how much I hated them as commentators.
Notice how he's saying I wanted to.
Yes, blame me for the lack of Beastmaster content. I hate watching that entire show. I'm sure Lita complaining about it, or me complaining about it, would have been great, but it also would have been torture for me, and I've got a lot of other podcasts I'm doing, so we're sticking to Team Ninja Warrior for now. All right, so this course, we are really wasting a lot of time. The course is the Sonic Swing, which is the rope swings that you do in the beginning. Very simple. It's all about whoever finds like the right rhythm to get through this the fastest. Then we get to the Ring of Fire, which is a big ring that you hold onto, and you have to jump over these lips. There's two of them on this big long pipe that you have to slide down, and this is probably the most difficult obstacle on the course. It always seems to get people hung up, and it really throws you off if you don't grab on really, really tight, if you like hit that second lip. And I'm not sure I like this obstacle, because I prefer seeing like really close matches and like people going through the course. I don't prefer to see them get hung up and fall into the water right in the beginning. I'm not a huge fan of this. What do you think?
Yeah, and it also kind of messes with the rhythm of it, because it's almost impossible. I mean, even the best people out there didn't do it perfectly, where they just, you know, hopped over both of them immediately. So it totally messes up the excitement of, you know, people cruising through these obstacles, because it's right at the beginning. So it's like immediately like there's all this adrenaline, and then like it usually comes to some sort of standstill while you have to watch them swing for a couple seconds. So it's not super entertaining. It's also not aptly named. There's no fire at all.
Yeah, right. I don't know. It's just like it felt like 85% of the runs were decided at the Ring of Fire, the second obstacle.
Yeah.
Like, and then you like at that point, it was already over.
Yeah, definitely the first episode, it was by far the hardest obstacle.
Yeah. Next up is the swing jump. This is from another carryover from the previous Team Ninja Warrior. You grab onto this little swing, go over to the cargo net, and crawl under. Pretty straightforward. It is a little awkward to complete, but for the most part, it's a pretty straightforward obstacle. Then we get the floating tiles, which probably the most fun obstacle, I think. This is my favorite one, because it's an agility obstacle. This is what they should be doing for Team Ninja Warrior. They've got to jump across these floating tiles, I guess, that are like just suspended on some bungees, and make it across. And it feels like getting to the floating tiles first is very important, because not only do you get your first choice of, you know, what to step on if you're going at the same time, but also once you step on them, they start moving up and down and making it more difficult for the next person to go across.
Yeah, it's the only obstacle where there can be any kind of sabotage or contact or anything like that. Not that they're like, you know, pushing each other off, they don't actually make contact, but it's the only part where people like really overlap, because otherwise it's two separate obstacles next to each other. This one is just, they both do the exact same one. I think that there should be more of that.
I wish they could push each other off, to be honest.
Do you? I feel like that would not really be in the spirit of American Ninja Warrior.
I mean, just playfully, like maybe there's like some pillows and puppies underneath them. Like, it's like just playful shoves, you know?
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Obstacle was the most fun. No, I have a comment about this obstacle. It's the most fun when Meghan Martin is doing it, because she ends it in a handstand. For some reason, she did it twice. She hops across, she bunny hops with both her feet and then lands in a handstand for just no reason, just because she's Meghan Martin and she can.
Ian also did the hop, so they felt like their team must have like practiced hopping on the floating tiles.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, good for them. It's fun.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Then in the first episode, we had the flying shelf grab. They grab onto a little shelf, then they jump over to the next shelf. And then what do they do after that? I forget.
They jump off, don't they? Or is there a pipe? No, that was the second one.
Maybe they do just jump off. I felt like there was a second part of it, but.
Oh, they might
whatever.
Jump to a rope.
Yeah, maybe a rope or something.
Clearly, we are experts on this
course. Expert podcasters.
This episode was like 2 weeks ago. Everybody needs to keep
it's
in
true.
Mind.
This is like the offshoot of the American Ninja Warrior pod. This is like the more casual. We didn't do as much research. I didn't take down as many notes. We're just, you know, we're just hanging out like friends discussing an episode of a show that we like.
If Matt and Akbar don't have to wear suits, if they can wear casual polos, we can do this extremely casually.
Exactly. Okay.
So did you notice that they dress less formally, or is that just me?
Of course I don't. I never notice what people are wearing. People always talk about like, oh, did you see this person and what they were wearing? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Because I don't know. Okay. I never see it. I feel like I only look at people's faces, maybe. Like somebody could be wearing something completely ridiculous and I would never notice.
Did you notice Thomas Stilling's genie pants?
No, I didn't until they mentioned them.
They were like capris. They were like the same pants, but they were shorter.
Okay. Even after they mentioned them, I still didn't.
I think
attention.
That was his version of casual wear for Team Ninja Warrior. He made his genie pants shorter.
I will say I did notice Ben Milik, the Tarzan. I notice when he's wearing things because he's barely wearing things.
That makes sense. It's also goes with his name.
I guess so.
So it's pretty easy.
All right. You finish off the course with the warped wall. And we didn't really see many people have trouble with the warped wall in these two episodes. So not a huge obstacle in this part, at least. It usually gives you more trouble when you get your feet wet.
Yeah, I think also it was not the taller warped wall. I think we went back to the normal size.
Perhaps. Maybe that's why.
So probably a lot of people have been training on the one that's a little bit taller.
Yeah. We also had in the second episode, just to finish off these first obstacles, the bungee row. Is it bungee road or bungee row?
I think it's road, but that row actually makes a lot more sense.
Right. I wasn't sure. And like halfway through my notes, I was like, man, I've been running road, but what if it's row? And I still couldn't tell even when I like tried to listen for it. And then I was like, man, we're just being casual. I don't care anymore.
I always hear road, but now that you say row, that makes more sense because the bungees are in a row. They're not on a road.
There's no road at all. But there's also no fire in the Ring of Fire. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I guess. I wish that they were all called things like the 20-foot climb or whatever that obstacle is called.
Yeah.
Where you just climb 20 feet.
What about the infinite invisible ladder or whatever it was? Endless.
Okay, well, that one is obviously a lie. We've talked about that. It does end. Well,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. All right. So in this first episode, we have four teams. We've got Party Time, the NorCal Ninjas, Golden Hearts, and Trey Amigos. And Party Time, the champion of the previous season of Team Ninja Warrior. So high expectations going in there. Party Time is made up of Brian Arnold, Jake Murray, and Jennifer Tavernier, What were you thinking of Party Time?
Their shirts were horrible. I know you don't look at what people wear, but their shirts literally just said like party exclamation point. And it looked like a child wrote it in Sharpie. So that's what I think of their uniforms. Is that not the question that you asked?
I bet one of their children did it for them and you're going to feel like such a jerk.
I am going to feel really bad if that's true. I mean, this is obviously a good team. I felt like last year, when they did win, I was actually a little surprised. Maybe not by the time they went to the final, but I remember going into the season last year, they were not the team that I was really like, oh, these people definitely have it locked up. So it wasn't like I was super shocked to see them go out. But I mean, obviously it's a strong team. It's great to see Brian Arnold and David Campbell racing against each other. We'll get to that. But yeah, it's a strong team. I like seeing, what's her name? Jennifer Tavernier. She's the first mom up the Warped Wall. And I think that's a cool stat.
I noticed that. I mean, we've talked about it before where it's like they really try to like squeeze those out.
Yeah, the history making runs. Yeah,
that felt like another one of those for sure.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one of those later that we'll get to.
And then we've got the NorCal Ninjas made up of David Campbell, Brian Kretsch, and Anna Shoemaker. I was so happy to see David Campbell on Team Ninja Warrior because he didn't get an invite. I've mentioned this so many times. It really upset me. But he didn't get an invite to American Ninja Warrior 8. So I'm really happy that they included him in Team Ninja Warrior. I'm hoping that means good things moving forward for David Campbell as far as getting an invite in the future. I don't actually know if he was invited to ANW9 yet. But I haven't seen any outrage. So maybe he was. I don't know.
We will find out soon. When does this premiere?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Casual, Lita. Casual.
Sorry. I can't ask questions. Anna Shoemaker is brand new. That's fun.
Yeah, she just straight out of the oven. Brand new.
She's new to American Ninja Warrior and Team Ninja Warrior. This is like her debut in totality. You don't have to say it that weird.
Brian Kretsch is an old favorite. He's been on, I think, all the seasons. He might have missed one because of an injury recently, but Brian Kretsch, great guy. He'd been there from the beginning, just like David Campbell. I was happy to see this is kind of like the super fan team with the new person straight out of the oven. So I was rooting for NorCal because I want to see David Campbell do well. Unfortunately, right off the bat, they're pitted against Party Time. So I was not expecting good things to happen there. So right off the bat, we got Jake Murray, who is, you know, crazy man Jake Murray. He's the guy that pulled out the corn dog from the fanny pack.
Remember.
On the regular American Ninja Warrior, rising star. He's got a terrible car.
He averages like 14 packages per episode, regardless of whether he's on them or not.
Yes, the edit loves him. Very much, and so does the course, because he beats Brian Kretsch right away. Then we get Tavernier falling on the floating steps, ripping her shirt.
Okay, yeah, that was really badass.
Yeah.
Her shirt ripped on an obstacle, and she just, like, ripped it off like the Hulk, and she has, like, this incredible body.
I mean, that's good television right there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but Shoemaker beats her. And then, shockingly, Brian Arnold goes down at the floating steps. I was completely shocked. I was looking forward to this David Campbell versus Brian Arnold run, but I was not expecting Brian to go down on the floating steps. NorCal Ninjas unbelievably upset the Party Time team.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because Brian versus David is such like an iconic matchup, and they actually both went down. It's just that David lasted a little longer, which was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, right. I feel like they made this course just a little too hard because like Team Ninja Warrior is all about like the close finishes and like seeing people like fly through obstacles. And we're seeing a lot of failures and a lot of like hangups and not a lot of close matches, especially in this first episode. So, you know, maybe a little bit of mistake, including this, especially the Ring of Fire. Then we have the next two teams. Golden Hearts versus Trey Amigos. The Golden Hearts comprised of Neil Craver, Crazy Craver, and your favorite, Grant McCartney.
These are both my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Neil Craver was also your favorite. Is Natalie Duran another one of your favorites?
I like her. Fine. She's
so no.
I don't know. Social media stars never really like capture my imagination on reality TV.
Wait, who are the other social media stars that haven't captured your attention?
Like, I said that they haven't captured my imagination. They certainly capture attention. I don't know, like the Frankie Grandes of the world, like that entire season of The Amazing Race where it was all those people.
Hey now, Bernie and Ashley were great.
They just tend to be extremely over the top, which is fine. It's good TV, I understand, but this whole team is a little ostentatious for my taste.
The Golden Hearts ostentatious? Really?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like they kind of camp it up a little too much for me. This is a serious show.
Yeah. I feel like Grant is kind of the star of the team here. I think he really pulls the weight for the most part.
Now I'm going to have one of them tweeting at me asking to come on this podcast like Zach Kemmerer did.
Listen, that's so see-through, Lita. I know you're trying to get them to come on the podcast, but we can't just go insulting everybody trying to get them to come on the podcast.
If that were my strategy, we would have interviewed the Boy Scout Ninja like 4 times.
They are going up against Trey Amigos, comprised of Tremaine Dorch, Melody Schofield, and Andrew Lowe's.
I don't like their team name. I don't like when the names are a pun on just the captain's name.
Yeah, it feels
this
a little...
This is Team Ninja Warrior. Yeah. There's no I. Well, there's a couple I's in Team Ninja Warrior, but, you know, there's no I in just team. I'm just saying it should be about the group.
As much as I love David Campbell, NorCal Ninjas, probably the worst name of the episode.
Yeah, that's pretty lame. At least no one, like, combined their names, like, all three of their names. They weren't, like, Tremel Drew.
Yeah. Tremel Drew.
Yeah. No, I at least no one did that. But, like, I don't know, Trey Amigos, not my fave.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So... Right off the bat, we get Grant McCartney. He beats Andrew Lowe's pretty handily, I think.
Did you know Grant McCartney was on Ellen?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, they mentioned it.
Did he maybe dance?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, man. I wish I knew.
If only we knew. Maybe he was promoting a book or something. Maybe he's really complex man.
I mean, it shouldn't surprise us. He's always eating, this guy. He's eating.
Is that something that someone said?
This is an inside joke from our own podcast. If you can't get it, how is the audience going to get it?
Is this something about his dad? I remember making fun of his dad. Like,
people are starving, but my boy, he is always eating.
Sorry, I can't recall immediately inside jokes from a year ago. God.
Okay, so Grant beats Andrew Lowe's. We get Melody, who is apparently some big Instagram person, so obviously not your favorite. She gets totally smoked by Natalie Duran. And then, surprisingly, Crazy Craver goes down early. Yet again, we have another sort of disappointing captain run here. And then we get a sudden death, which Grant again pulls the win out for the Golden Hearts, and the Golden Hearts are the winners of this matchup.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm bummed because I like Tremaine Dorch, but this Melanie woman, she gets up at 4 a.m. to get like these Instagram abs. Like, she has these incredible abs that she puts on Instagram. And I ate an entire pizza during this episode and was just watching this like, why? It didn't even help her on the course.
I mean, maybe if you got up at 4 a.m. to grab all of the abs, you could put them on Instagram.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm choosing not to do that, to grab all of the abs.
Yeah, that's what you said. Get abs, like get them and then put them, like take them from one place and put them on the Instagram place.
I want to be clear that I don't like have disdain for people who are popular on social media. I just mean, like, if that's like your job, is that like you're a YouTube star? That's fine. It's just generally not the type of person that I am drawn towards on reality television. They come off as a little inauthentic to me.
All right. Then we get the NorCal Ninjas up against Trey Amigos. And again, you know, this is, I guess, the only reason why you might want to win the first round is so that you don't have to go up against the stronger team right after you ran, which is what Trey Amigos ultimately has to do here. We get Kretch going down at the Ring of Fire, Schofield unable to make it through swing jump, and then Tremaine again goes down at Ring of Fire. Really lackluster matchup here.
Yeah, but Anna Shoemaker is great.
Sure. Yeah.
She did a fantastic job.
Yeah, she
I
did.
Was like writing in my notes, she's a breakout star. And then Akbar said it right as I was writing it.
Oh, of course. Of course you wrote it first. I totally believe you.
I'm just saying, I feel like that's a that's not a hot take.
Well, what is a hot take is that Lita secretly takes all of the takes from Akbar and just says them on the podcast and pretends that she was saying them first.
Yeah, that's why I say so many weird metaphors and I'm always shouting.
I'm feeling a distinct lack of Akbarisms in this season of Team Ninja Warrior so far, and I really want more of them.
It goes too fast. Like, the best Akbarisms are when, like, someone is, like, fighting on an obstacle to stay on.
Yeah.
You know? And he's, like, you know, the equivalent of, like, Dig Woman, but Akbar has, like, a bunch of really nonsensical ones. When he's, like, encouraging people, I feel like they're better.
You made me just think that Akbar should be the next host of Survivor.
That would be so good.
All right. Then we get Party Time versus Golden Hearts. I was thinking going into this matchup, all right, Party Time, they had a bad run on their first one. Obviously, they're going to beat the Golden Hearts. And right off the bat, we get Jake Murray beating their captain, Crazy Craver. So I'm like, yeah, things are looking up there. I mean, obviously, Party Time is going to win this, right?
That's interesting that you say that. I actually did not think that at all. I thought when I first saw the Golden Hearts, and you can fact check this because I tweeted this. When I first saw this team, I thought that pound for pound, this was the strongest team on the episode.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they were the only team that all three people I saw. And I was like, yeah, they got this. Surprising that you did not feel the same way. We never disagree on anything.
I mean, Jake Murray beat Crazy Craver, so it's not like you're totally right.
That was a high energy matchup between the two of those people.
Yeah, you know, you would have thought it would be more exciting given the energy, but
they're both extremely weird people.
But yeah, my notes just say Jake Murray beats Crazy Craver, so clearly nothing exciting happened.
Yeah, clearly.
Then we get Natalie Duran beating Jennifer, and this is the first time Natalie has gotten up the warped wall. How about that?
How about it? She was really emotional about it.
She was, yeah. I mean, and good for her. Like, you know, she's been doing this show for a couple of years now, and must be a big moment.
Yeah. Oh, we should also comment that Neil and Grant switch spots.
Yes, yes. The reason Crazy Craver has gone first here is because I think he recognizes that Grant is the star of the team at the moment and has the best chance of beating Brian Arnold. But still, I did not think Grant McCartney would beat Brian Arnold, but he does. He goes up against Brian Arnold. I feel like this is a case where Brian just, he makes a small mistake on the Ring of Fire, and that's basically it. There's not a lot of coming back from that.
Yeah.
So just like that, Party Time is out. Our reigning champions out of the tournament. And whether or not there's a wild card, Matt says in the episode, we know something for certain. We will have a new champion of Team Ninja Warrior. So it seems like even if there is a wild card, Party Time probably not going to be a part of it, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
I have not thought that far ahead about who could be wild cards.
Well, this is what you come to me for, the in-depth casual analysis. Then we get the relay, NorCal Ninjas versus the Golden Hearts. And I was really pulling for the NorCal Ninjas here, but I had a sinking feeling. I felt like, man, I don't know if they can do it. It does seem like the Golden Hearts probably have the upper hand here.
Yeah, but I'm glad that David Campbell got to show that he's still got it, at least to an extent. He had a good showing.
He does still got it. Okay, so right off the bat, Natalie gives the Golden Hearts a big lead, and I feel like that was really the deciding factor here. As great as Anna Shoemaker was, she just didn't have the speed in that first half of the course, and NorCal just couldn't make up the ground that she lost. And Golden Hearts win.
Huzzah.
I was very surprised. I was not expecting Golden Hearts to be the champion over both David Campbell's team and Party Time.
They did some mediocre dancing to celebrate, as is to be expected.
All right. So then we have the next episode where we had the Mega Crushers, Team Tarzan and Team TNT and the Wings. This is I liked this episode much better. I thought this was a much better episode.
Yes.
The teams were great. I mean, the teams were great in the last episode, but I don't know, just some of the runs just weren't really doing it for me. But this was a great one. We got Mega Crushers. This is the team with Megan Martin as the captain. She has usurped Ian Dory.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Perhaps there was a mutiny afoot, and she took his captainship.
Yeah, because for a second I was like, wait, is Ian Dory not competing this year? And then I was like, oh, no, he's still on the same team. He's just not the captain anymore. Okay.
Yeah, he is now just a regular member of the team who still runs the anchor run.
Yeah, sure.
Just like it's Megan's team now. She's got the better branding, I guess.
Wait, I'm going to backtrack on something I said earlier. Was this team called the... First of all, this is not my backtracking preliminary question. Was this team called the Mega Crushers last year?
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so either. But I'm going to backtrack on something that I said earlier because I feel like this was a missed opportunity for them to make a pun on Megan's name and spell it Mega, M-E-A-G-A.
Well,
that's how her name is spelled.
I
know that it's
still...
already a pun on her name, but it's not spelled correctly because her name is with an A.
But then if you had read it, just if you had just been reading it, it would be like, what, Megha Crushers?
No,
what's a Megha?
I guess that's fair, but I don't know. I felt writing it out, it felt unnatural to not put the A. I was confused when I first turned to this page of notes because instead of Team Tarzan, I have Team Taren written at the top, and I was so confused. I was like, what is
yes.
this about?
Finally, revenge against Tarzan. My name always autocorrects to Tarzan, but apparently I get a little bit of payback here.
And you made fun of me for taking handwritten notes. This is what can happen.
What? Yes, I discovered that Lita takes all of her notes down on just like pen and paper. And I was like, I did not realize you lived in the 17th century. I'm so sorry.
And I always have for every single podcast, and it's never come up or been an issue. How can you not hear my pages when we podcast?
I don't know. It just feels like the sort of thing where it's like, that's where we'd put in sound effects to like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, let me check through my notes. Paper sound effect, but it's not real. You're not actually going through papers.
No, it's
that's
right
insanity.
Here. These are my notes.
Oh, man.
He only knows this because I sent a Snapchat to him of how terrible my notes are.
Yeah, it's just like a huge like wall of like sloppily written text.
It's a mess.
I have no idea how she reads them.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm a professional, though. I make it work. No one's ever noticed.
Which is why we have such great commentary in this podcast.
That's why we're so sharp and on point.
Yes. To finish out the Mega Crushers, we got Dan Yeager, part of the Wolf Pack.
Extremely handsome.
Yes, very handsome. sort of like one of the lesser talked about members of the Wolfpack. He trains with them all the time, but never really gets enough of a spotlight, I think. Poor Dan Yeager.
Yeah, this team is overall extremely attractive. I think probably the most attractive team we've seen. Just want to point that out.
I'm just quickly checking to make sure that I agree with you.
I mean, it's tough competition. They're athletes, you know, they're all hot, but... I have to say, Mega Crush on the Mega Crushers.
I don't know. I feel like Travis Wynand, he's a pretty good looking dude.
But I'm talking like an average, like overall for the whole team.
Yeah, but I mean, Ben Mielek, also good looking dude.
Yeah.
Rose Wetzel.
Yeah.
Very attractive.
Listen, I just said they're all
I'm
hot.
Just saying,
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, I think you're sleeping on Team Tarzan here. That's all I'm saying.
So. As long as it's not Team Troyzan. He blocked me on Twitter yesterday.
I was just getting a message from John Krause, one of our, you know, RHAP podcasters, saying, did you get blocked by Troyzan? I'm apparently one of the few people from RHAP that Troyzan has not blocked.
Wow, you should send him a message from all of us because we're all blocked.
Who knows how long that will last, but... people who just listened for American Ninja Warrior have no idea what we're talking about. Troyzan is a Survivor player who is currently on the current season and apparently hates RHAP.
Yeah.
So then, as I mentioned, Team Tarzan, we got Ben Mielek, Travis Wynand, and Rose Wetzel. Travis, great guy. I love watching Travis. He's huge. And Ben Mielek, he's the Tarzan guy, always dresses in the loincloth. And then Rose Wetzel is the Spartan racer. She's one of the top Spartan racers, they said. I wouldn't know, but I'd take them for their word.
I think if I were Rose Wetzel, I would tell them like one other fact about myself at some point. Because every single time we see her, all we know is that she's Rose Wetzel. She's one of the top female Spartan racers in the country. They've never said anything else about her.
Maybe she's tried to, and they're just like, sorry, everything else about you is really boring.
Oh, maybe everything else about her is really boring.
Maybe she's like me, and like anything from her personal life would just be extremely boring to talk about.
That's why we stick to the facts here.
Yeah. So we had the Mega Crushers go up against Team Tarzan, and Travis and Dan both fall at Bungie Road. They couldn't make the dismount, which was very strange because nobody had a problem with the dismount after these first couple of runs. It felt like maybe they like adjusted it because they didn't want everybody to fail on the dismount. Do you feel like that's the case?
I don't know.
By the end of the episode, they were just like dropping off the thing. Like, no problem. And yeah, they were just like, they were trying to build up momentum. And even after they had momentum, they couldn't make the dismount. I feel like they must have adjusted this.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't notice that. I thought maybe there was some early nerves or something.
Maybe. But yes, they both failed there. But Dan got there first, so he gets the first point. Then we learn it's pointed out to us. And it is pointed out to us many times throughout the episode that Megan is undefeated in Team Ninja Warrior. She has never lost a matchup. And I mean, that's going to continue. Basically, she continues to never lose a matchup. And I love Megan Martin. It was not the most fun to watch Megan Martin go up against anybody because she just dominated every single thing. Like, it was never even close in any of her matchups.
But she's so fun to watch on the floating tiles.
That is certainly a highlight.
And I love her.
It's true. I'm just saying, they need to get... It's unfortunate that she didn't, you know, ultimately move on, because I would have liked to see her up against some more competitive people so that we could see a little bit more of an exciting run. Because I know it would be exciting to watch her go up against, you know, some people that would actually be very competitive, like Megan versus Jesse Graff. I feel like we really missed out there.
I was about to say, we're about to have, whenever Jesse Graff competes, we're going to have the exact same conversation where anybody who goes against Jesse Graff is just going to be, you know, no shade at any other female athletes, but they're just going to be completely obliterated.
They're just so far above all of the other athletes. It's ridiculous.
I definitely would not put it past Team Ninja Warrior to do some thing where they make it happen that Megan and Jesse compete against each other.
They should. They in absolutely some way. Should. Yeah. It would be a huge shame if they didn't.
Yeah.
So yes, as I mentioned, Megan wins. She's the first to complete Bungie Road. Then we get a little package on Ben Milik.
Yeah.
Apparently, not only is he a Tarzan, but he also races cars.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah,
those
like
things...
Tarzan and cars. That like okay.
Tarzan.
Like, way to ruin your image, right? Did you say Tarzan?
Yeah, I did.
Shame on you, Lita. Shame on you. What have you brought to this podcast?
Nothing. Yeah, and he does the thing that we love where he's like, racing cars is exactly like American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. But it's not American, it's Team Ninja Warrior.
Team Ninja Warrior.
They're like, and this is a theme in the episode where they're like, they're really trying to tie everything into Team Ninja Warrior. They're like, Ian Dory, he has an elaborate obstacle course built at his home, at his farm, where it's all of the hardest obstacles of American Ninja Warrior. And it's like, yeah, this is really going to help me for Team Ninja Warrior. And it's like, well, it's probably mostly going to help you for American Ninja Warrior. But sure, I guess we can tie it into Team Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
And like the car thing. And I think there was a thing with Megan, too. It was like, her rock climbing thing. It was like, that's really going to help
Utah,
me with Team Ninja Warrior.
Because it was a side by side climbing comp.
Yeah, they're just
really over her. Instagram.
They really love pushing that stuff. And so we get Ian versus Ben, and Ian just crushes this. Ian speeds through this course, not even remotely close. I was like, awesome. This is Ian Dory at his best.
Yeah. Do you think Ian Dory is not the captain anymore since he came on our podcast? He just like lost all credibility.
Oh no. What have we done?
They're just like, you're clearly not a serious athlete.
We had the winner of the previous Team Ninja Warrior on our podcast.
Watch him not be the captain next year. Wait, I guess he's graduating. So
that's true.
So he says, really, he was kicked off the team after competing with us.
Oh no. What have we done? all right. So the Mega Crushers win that matchup. Then we have Team TNT, and this is when I started in my notes to make note of their little sayings for the teams, and Team TNT is about to blow this course up.
Do they all have little sayings like that?
Yeah, the wings were like, Yeah, the wings.
Oh, because we're gonna be fly like
ahead of you, and you're gonna see the backs of our wings or something.
Oh, really, I thought they just said something really like because we're gonna fly.
So anyway, Team TNT made up of Travis Rosen, Brett Sims, and Mary Beth Wong. And I believe Travis Rosen is the only surviving member of this team. The rest of them are new.
He used to be on it.
I don't remember. There was some sort of zombie apocalypse, and Travis was the only one to make it through. So he had to pick up some new team members.
Yeah. Well, he did a good job. Yes. Picking new team members. Team members.
Yes, so the previous team was Travis Rosen, Adam Arnold, and Joyce Shabazz. Travis Rosen, the only surviving member of this team, but still manages to be very effective here.
You happy to see Brett Sims?
Yes, I was very happy to see Brett Sims. You know, he's not the most consistent, but it does seem like he has he's really upped his game in the previous season. He's been here since it was American Ninja Warrior Challenge, and he really dropped off the map for a little while. He had a lot of mistakes in early obstacles, and it seems like whatever he's doing, maybe he stepped up his training, but he has really been a force in American Ninja Warrior 8, and now in Team Ninja Warrior, he did very well. So I'm very happy to see the resurgence of Brett Sims.
Maybe it's because he got married.
Maybe.
To Grace Sims, who they always show.
To Crazy Kraver's ex. So Team TNT, they're up against the Wings, which is made up of Thomas Stillings, who says he's got the legs, and then David Yarder, who's got the upper body, and rounded out by Melanie Hunt.
Who is a person.
Yeah.
She's not
package.
Part of the yin yang. Okay, this was the lamest justification for picking a team member I've ever heard, where he said that we're the yin and the yang because I'm good with my legs and he's good with his upper body. Like, you're on American Ninja Warrior. Like, all of you are good with everything.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't looked at all of the teams yet. I'm sure Daniel Gill has his own team, but it feels like, I mean, maybe it would have been overpowered to have Thomas and Daniel on the same team, but it does feel like put them on the same team.
No,
like,
they're bitter rivals. They're don't you remember that rivalry that apparently had been going on for a long time that we were not informed
then at the very least have Daniel Gill's team on the same episode so we can see them compete against each other, right?
They're not
coordinating these matchups well enough for me.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll listen to you after they hear this podcast.
Listen, Matt Eisman is a good friend of mine. So
you had to bring it up. Nice podcast.
Thomas Stilling says he is the fastest out there, and nobody's gonna beat him.
Sure.
Confidence.
Yeah, that always bodes well.
And I feel like I agreed with him. Like, he's a fast dude. But he had some stiff competition here. So we got Team TNT versus the Wings. First up was Yarder versus Brett Sims, and David Yarder, poor David Yarder, he flips right into the water at the floating tiles, legitimately flips into the water. We see that happen a couple times here. The floating tiles doing their work as a fun obstacle on this episode.
Yeah, at least when people go out on the floating tiles, it's so much more fun to watch than on the Ring of Fire. When they go out on that, they just drop.
Yeah, they're just hanging on, and then it's just like, oh, they're in the water.
Yeah.
But floating tiles, it's like crash, bang, flip, splash, crazy. Yeah.
I have nothing to add. That's exactly what it's like.
This was a case where it felt like the tiles, they were just kind of bouncing after Brett Sims had gone over them. So it was more difficult for David Yarder to get across, and he flips into the water. Then we get, this is like the weirdest package I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
Was Melanie Hunt saying that on her way to work, she just does some parkour through the streets of New York City.
Yeah.
No, you don't. I don't believe this for a second. There's no way you just do parkour on the way to work in a dress and then you show up and they're like, oh, how are you? And you're like, oh, I'm fine. Like, no.
You don't think the people on the streets of Manhattan would be receptive to that if you're just like doing flips in their way?
It's just like the most absurd, like, listen, I am perfectly willing to be completely wrong here, in which case I will say she sounds like a bit of a lunatic, but but this is just like, there's no way, like, who, you're not gonna do parkour on the way to work in a dress.
The
no,
thing
you're
is
not.
Like, how can we fact check this? Like, hidden cameras, just
common sense.
Who do we know in New York that could spy on this woman? On Melanie Hunt.
Let's get Matt Liguori to
good idea.
Set up some cameras. All right. So even though she's a liar.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm usually the one throwing shade at people. This is quite a role reversal. Even though she's a dirty liar, let's get into her run.
She goes down the swing jump, and then Wong also goes down at the floating tiles. Again, more failures, but Wong made it further, probably because she's not a liar.
You're not calling BS on her running a gymnastic studio and having two children?
That seems perfectly reasonable to me.
She also has a rocking bod.
At least she's not claiming she does it in a dress.
Run a gymnastic studio in a dress on the subway.
Yeah, my gymnastic studio in a subway car.
That sounds like a pilot that could be on TBS this fall.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, fine. Oh my God, Melanie Hunt has really riled you up with her deceit.
Next, we have Thomas Stillings versus Travis Rosen. And this was an awesome matchup.
Did you know Travis Rosen is old?
Is he? Is Stillings maybe like half of his age?
Were you aware that he is old?
I mean, I wasn't aware. But I was glad to be informed.
Six times, in case we forgot.
I mean, I was, to be fair, I was constantly forgetting.
Yeah, he's the ageless wonder. You can't remember it that he's so old.
Ageless wonder, man, that sounds like a great nickname and a great way to remind people of how old he is.
Yes, twice the age of Thomas Stillings.
All right, so Stillings versus Rosen. This was one of the best matchups here. Honestly, I know Travis is fast. I know that he's great. They came in second place on the previous season, and that's largely due to his work. Even so, I expected Stillings to have the edge here. Not only is he half of Rosen's age, but he's so fast. He's like a parkour dude. And so I really was shocked, not shocked, but surprised that he was really, it was like neck and neck all the way up until the floating tiles. And even on the Ring of Fire, it seemed like they had really started to figure out the Ring of Fire. They weren't even bothering to go over that second lip. Once they got caught up, they were just dismounting straight from there, which seems like definitely the way to go for future athletes, although Dan Yeager does attempt it and fail. That was just a bad timing. They should be attempting it. So right up until the floating tiles, they're neck and neck. Travis manages to get onto the floating tiles first, which leaves Stillings without a step, and he flips right into the water. Team TNT, winners of this matchup.
Yeah, blowing it up. I feel like I would have been more surprised if they didn't have him saying, like, nobody's going to beat me. I go so fast. You know, I feel like there are certain people that you can tell that they're setting them up.
this is fair. Next up was the Wings versus the Mega Crushers. And I've got to say, again, I was expecting the Mega Crushers to pull this one out. I was not expecting the Wings to win this one.
Yeah, me too. And this was the first one that I felt really like I really had one preference. Of a team. Like, one of the problems with this show is that sometimes it's hard to decide who to root for, because, you know, there's three people on each team, and, you know, there's so many people that I like and want to see succeed that often I don't really have like a horse in the race. But this is one where I really, really like all three people on the Mega Crushers and was very sad about this.
Yes. And basically, Yarder versus Yeager. It's hard to get their names straight here.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is Yeager, like I said, he tries to do that quick dismount from the Ring of Fire, but he doesn't set it up properly. He just tries to use the momentum at the last second to carry him over, and he doesn't get far enough, and he goes into the water. I mean, I think it's this mistake that probably cost them the win, ultimately, because they needed this point. Obviously, Megan just crushes it. No contest. And then we get Thomas Stillings versus Ian Dory. And basically, Stillings versus either of these people, great matchups. I even wrote in my notes right before I watched this, poor Stillings. He has to go up against Rosen and then Ian Dory. Like, I know he's so fast. I'm sure he would have wanted to win, but unfortunately he's up against Ian Dory and he's just going to lose just like he did up against Travis Rosen.
Yeah.
And whoa, what a match this was. This was definitely the best one of the season so far.
Oh, definitely. And to the point where I know you didn't watch it live, but there was a promo like for, you know, this season on Team Ninja Warrior in the middle of the commercial break. And literally right before this matchup happened, in the promo was a clip of them racing up the warped wall to get to the buzzer. So first of all, I already knew that they were going to get to the warped wall, but this was clearly something that they were pushing as an exciting matchup.
Well, that's lame.
Yeah.
Talk about spoilers.
Now I try not to pay attention to those. Like, I don't want to register who goes to the warped wall.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is crazy. So right off the bat, Stillings, he does the early fire, ring of fire dismount. And that gets him the lead because Ian doesn't do that. I feel like, man, if you had just done that early dismount, you would have won this.
Yeah.
Like any small thing would have been the difference. But Ian doesn't, he gets a little caught up there. So Stillings pulls ahead. Then Ian Tory flies through the swing jump, like speeds past Stillings and gets to the floating tiles. But then at the floating tiles, Stillings pulls ahead of him, because they're still neck and neck. Then Ian Dory gets past him on Bungee Road because Ian Dory is extremely, you know, he's a rock climber. He gets through that very, very quickly. But Stillings is still neck and neck with him. Ian gets to the top of the wall first, but Stillings is just a little more agile and he manages to get himself up and over the wall first to hit the buzzer and get the win for the Wings. And just like that, the Mega Crushers are out of it.
And I'm extremely upset. And this is the part of the season where I start to question the format and say, this is dumb. They should not make the last round be 2 points or whatever. Because there's always one team that gets eliminated. I'm like, this is stupid. They should change it. I do want to point out before I move on about Yarder. This was easily so they don't have a palm, crazy, healthy, wonderful, magical run of the night. I feel like they should have Akbar's biggest stretch of saying that something is making history, because he said that Yarder and his dad were the first father-son team to make a city finals. Wow, so much competition, you know, all of those father-son teams that are constantly competing.
Yeah, I'm look, it's very impressive. You know, there have been like at least four or five.
There are,
right?
Literally couples of them. Is that really making history? Is it?
Look, everything that we do makes history. We are making history as we speak.
Okay, that's fine.
This is the first podcast in the history of the world about American Ninja Warrior that has you and I on it.
This one specifically?
Yeah.
Fact check.
There are no others that has us. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant this edition. Like, this seems like revisionist history.
This is the first podcast about Team Ninja Warrior.
Not college edition. Yeah. True.
How about that? Wow. Making history as we speak.
Truly, we are heroes.
This is the first podcast that we've done where it's really terrible. We don't have all of the relevant information.
I feel like that can't be true. I feel like one day we'll have one where that description does not apply, and then we'll be like, wow, this is really history making.
All right. So, then we get the final matchup of the night before the relay. It's Team TNT versus Team Tarzan. And this is really quick. This was Brett Sims. I love Travis Winant, but he totally gets crushed here. He doesn't even complete Bungee Road. And then Wetzel beats Mary Beth, not even close. And then Rosen just crushes Ben, again, not even particularly close. Poor Ben Milik just got totally, you know, slammed in this episode. Ian crushed him. Travis crushed him.
Car racing.
Tough competition.
Apparently it didn't come in handy. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunate luck for him to have to go up against, I mean, just as I said for Stillings, to have to go up against both Ian Dory and Travis Rosen. It's bad luck. Bad luck, man. Team TNT wins pretty handily. Nah, not much competition there. Then we get to the relay. Team TNT versus the Wings. And they made an interesting decision here. I understood it with the Wings, where Thomas Stillings is going to run the second leg of the relay instead of the final leg. Because, as he mentioned, he's the legs, and Yarder is the upper body.
Right.
And so that makes sense. But when they said Travis Rosen was doing the same thing, Travis Rosen is doing part two, leg two, and Brett Sims is going to close it out, I was like, oh, I mean, I love Brett Sims, but he's no Travis Rosen.
Uh-huh. That's what
I
you
was
think.
Scared. I was like, this is how they lose. I was like, I thought going into this, there's no way they lose, but this could really be the end of them. If it, like, because Travis is their strongest competitor, their strongest athlete. I feel like, you know, you got to put him on the longest leg. But I had doubts and they proved me wrong.
Yeah.
They really proved me wrong. Brett Sims in particular totally proved me wrong. He totally crushed that final leg.
He's here to climb invisible ladders and prove Taryn wrong. And he's all out of invisible ladders.
Clearly. He totally dominated that. And I completely understand now why they would have put him at the end. And really, this was already basically over when Melanie goes down in the first leg. There's a 10-second penalty for the Wings at that point. You know, Stillings does the best he can to make up that time, but unfortunately, there's really nothing they can do. Yarder isn't even able to make it through the Globe Graspers, so two of their of the people on their team weren't able to complete their legs. This is probably the weakest performance we've seen in a relay. Nothing against the Wings, but it does seem like Stillings really carried that team to that relay.
Yeah, 10 seconds is such a long time. It's actually crazy how much of that gap they closed. I wonder a little bit if that penalty is too long, because I do think it should be really detrimental, because if you fall, obviously, like, that sucks and you should incur a big penalty. But how can you recover from 10 seconds when the course is so short?
I don't know. I mean, at the time I was thinking, like, man, 10 seconds, it almost feels as though if they got caught up instead of falling, it could be more than 10 seconds that it takes for them to get to tag the other person. So I was like, is that even enough time? It definitely seems like enough. Is it too much? I'm not sure. Obviously there needs to be a huge penalty there if you fall. So, I mean, really, I think what they should be doing is making the course a little bit easier so that we don't get as many falls, because we don't want to see falls in Team Ninja Warrior. That's not the fun part of Team Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, exactly. And like, the 10 second penalty is fair for what it is for the competitors, but it's just such bad TV. Like, it just sucks to watch people stand there for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I have no solution.
All right. So that's the two episodes. Like I said, that second one was certainly more exciting than the first one. Hoping that we get more of those. Still very much looking forward to seeing Drew Jeschel's team. I assume he has a team. like I said, I haven't looked, but it would be certainly a travesty if Drew Jeschel didn't have a team.
I'm sure he does, unless he had to switch with someone else.
Unless somebody usurped his captainship.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he got the captainship from someone else who's been on our podcast. Like, it was supposed to be Noah Kaufman, but lost all his prestige.
All right. Any other final thoughts before we close this one out?
This was fun. It wasn't really good, this podcast, but I am really happy to be back. Oh, I have a couple of things that I'm up to that I should promote. Is this the time of the show?
Do you? Tell me about them, Lita.
I didn't know if this was the time to be doing that. It's been a while. We're rusty here on format. So I was on the challenge or Hap Up last week. So not on the episode that's probably coming out today, but last week's, it was really fun. I was on that with Brian Cohen, filling in for the great Ali Lasher. And this week, there's some scheduling stuff that we're still figuring out, but I am pretty sure I'm going to be filling in for Angela Bloom on the Dancing with the Stars podcast. And if you think I get worked up about American Ninja Warrior and you enjoy that, you should definitely listen to that, because I get extremely opinionated about dance. It's like something that I really love to complain about. And it's something that I actually know about, which, you know, it's not necessarily true here. So check that out.
I think that's obvious, but I think it's clear that every time an athlete tries to dance at all, you basically hate them.
I have extremely strong opinions about dance.
And I don't think there's any competitor that has danced and you haven't hated them. Like, you've enjoyed their dancing.
I enjoy.
Tell me if this is not true.
I enjoy when they are dancers. Like, there were a couple of like Ariel Silk people who did the College Madness one, and I condoned them.
But did they dance on the? That's what, if they danced on the course.
No, not on the course. No, yeah. And I said I gave Daniel Gill props for taking ballroom classes to get better at American Ninja Warrior. But you're right. I prefer it to be behind the scenes. Learn to dance. Be a good dancer. Just, you know, don't do it on TV unless that's like your thing. There was like, we had a ballerina who, I think there was a male ballet dancer last season of American Ninja Warrior, who did terribly.
I remember him being really obnoxious.
Yeah. I think that there should be more dancers on American Ninja Warrior. But
if you did American Ninja Warrior, would you dance on the course?
I feel like probably not. I feel like, first of all, I would not have very much to dance about because I would go out like on the floating tiles. I mean, the triple steps, whatever those are called now. The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably go out on the first obstacle. I don't know. Maybe. I feel like it's cooler to like do, you know, like sometimes people do like handstands at the top of the warped wall. I would strike like a yoga pose or something, but I wouldn't do a dance, I don't think.
All right.
Why would you? I mean, do you have something planned?
I'm just saying, like, if you feel like the quality of dance moves on the course is lackluster, you know, maybe instead of complaining about it, you should get in there and make it better.
It's up to me to raise the bar rather than
that's what I'm saying.
Saying that they shouldn't be dancing at all.
You sit behind your podcasting microphone in your chair talking about their dance moves. You've never been on the course. You've never done a dance move on the course. Who are you to speak about it?
I don't know. I mean, does dancing competitively not qualify? It's the only sport I do. So anyway, if you like Dancing with the Stars or you like me for some reason, then check that out next week.
If you are a fan of Big Brother, we've got a lot of Big Brother stuff happening. I've been hosting the new LFC show, The Roundtable. We're doing it every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, talking about the live feeds of Big Brother Canada. It's been a lot of fun, so check that out if you haven't. It's on the Reality TV Rehapups feed, as is this podcast. But you can also find it on the American Ninja Warrior Rehab Up feed on iTunes. If you want to, you can leave us a review there. It would be very, very helpful and very kind of you. And you can also find us on robhasawebsite.com, where you can find all of the American Ninja Warrior podcasts. You can comment on them. There are not usually a lot of comments, but if you want to comment there, that'd be cool. I mean, we can like have a whole conversation on stuff. I'll usually respond if there's enough comments, right? Like you care if I talk to you. You can also contact us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. Tell us all about how terrible this podcast was and how ill-prepared we were and how much you love our casual podcasts.
Also, you can see us in person in a couple weeks. Are we plugging this? Is this something we're talking about?
It's very true. On May 10th and 11th will be the Toronto Survivor Know-It-Alls and the show, the live Big Brother show that we will be doing in person at the Sheraton something center in Toronto. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. Lita is going to be there, even though she doesn't have anything to do with Survivor and Big Brother.
Okay.
So you can meet her, you know, be a hanger on like she is.
Oh my God. It's really disrespectful. You can come see Taren and I fight with each other in real life. You can see what good actors we are when we pretend to like each other on these shows.
You can watch us dominate in Mario Party. You probably can't watch us, but you can hear about it afterward. You can watch it on Twitch and then hear us complain about it afterward.
Yes, please come say hi. We're really nice. Well, I'm really nice. Taren is the worst. But come say hi. Buy me a drink. Buy Taren a water. I like gin and tonics and vodka martinis. And Taren likes being a responsible adult. So maybe buy him an appetizer or something.
What have you done to our podcast? Shilling out for alcoholic drinks. This is supposed to be a family-friendly show, Lita.
So we're not allowed to extort people for alcohol?
No, but if you like our podcast and you like American Ninja Warrior, come up and say hi and tell us how much you love it. And then go and tell Rob how much you love it.
Yeah, especially even if you don't do the first thing, do the second thing.
and then go and tell iTunes how much you love it.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. This has been fun. This has been pretty fun. So thanks for hanging out with us, and we will see you next time.